Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone. This is the Sound Health Option Show with Richard Talk to Me Guy and Sherry Edwards. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. That's such good news going on in the world, I think, that the people are finally waking up. I love the story of Ferguson. I mean, I don't like it that the young kid got killed, but for the community to come together and want to bring peace to the outlet for their emotions rather than letting the police bring in tanks and tear gas and bullets. The community came together. I think that's absolutely beautiful. So it's a good morning.
I think that's a great, thing. We talked about it a little bit backstage, and I really do feel that's such a positive, you know, I'm sorry that the boy died. And yet that this kind of resolution can occur because, as you say, the people came together. I hope this is a really trending thing where the communities start to come together and just go, no, we need to resolve this. We don't need tanks. We don't need guns. We don't need people in flak jackets and, you know, aggressive officers, as per Terry Ingram from last week.
But I think that's what the Department of Defense is trying to do, as it guilt actually shoves off and sort of makes him take it, all of this riot gear.
Well, like that thing you have up now, we should probably, do we want to open the show first?
Yes, let's do that.
I saw the feed on WebEx and I was, I'm right there. Yeah, okay. I guess I'll start by saying for those of you on Blog Talk Radio, Sherry is also, at the same time, we simulcast on Blog Talk Radio and also through WebEx. And if you want to see what we're talking about, you can go to soundhealthoptions.com, click on the radio tab, and then click on Blog Talk Radio, and there are links there that will show you how to get to the video feed that Sherry is going to be talking about, the things that we're talking about, and what I saw that made me want to jump on something. And then also for people over at WebEx, if you want to listen to the audio via Blog Talk Radio, that same link of Sound Health Options and then Radio and then Blog Talk Radio will give you a link to the audio at Blog Talk Radio. And you can also always call in at Blog Talk Radio at 347-850-1407. And I always find the audio at Blog Talk Radio the best, but that's me. And there was another thought there. Go ahead.
We are sponsored by the Sound Health Research Center that has been doing furious research on Ebola. We'll report on that a little later. I did not do a keynote this week. Actually, I haven't done a keynote for about a month, and absolutely no one has complained. So maybe no one was reading those, and we should do without them.
I always liked them a lot, but I don't know about everybody else.
Well, I may go back to doing this. People let us know. Actually, what people are letting us know is, was Sandy Hook real? Is the people talking in Ferguson real? Is what Pelosi said real? And on and on and on. And a lot of mail last week from They Love Terry Ingram. We've got two really exciting questions to ask him when we bring him back, and we'll get him scheduled at ASAP. One of them, they wanted to know how, him being a police officer, he became so cynical about the police. It's like from the inside out. And Biggie, people wanted to know if they should start hiding or preparing a place for them to hide. That works right into what we were talking about Ferguson, people being afraid of the police. And I think that's the government divided we fall. The government is trying to separate the authority figures that we should trust and had trusted for millennia from the people whose rights they are stealing. Oh, didn't mean to get on that.
No. Well, that leads right in. And also, I think that's part of what, that's another reason that, you know, it'd be great to have Terry back, because of that thing that he talked about when he went into the police academy in the 70s, because we're of a similar age. I think he said 70s, that it really, at that point, it was when it changed, and that's the part that I'd like to spend more time talking with him about also, when police officers and communities were, you know, the police used to wander around and kind of take care of things in a, I don't know, the best visual I can come up with is, you know, that sort of Andy Williams way, not the dopey way so much, but the, you know, policemen wandering around, taking care of things by wandering around and being part of the community. Whereas now it seems much more along the lines, if you want to bring that DOD article again, that, you know, now the communities are being, you know, weaponized. You know, what Sherry's showing is this article about the DOD donating these mine-resistant ambush-protected vehicles, MRAPs, which are these ginormous tank-like, well, I don't know what to call them. This isn't in my realm of whatever it is. But, I mean, they're really from wars. And they're these huge mine-resistant, bomb-resistant, gun-resistant monster vehicles that the DOD is donating, in quotes, our tax dollars already at work, you know, leftovers from wars, and they're giving these MRAPs owned by the, let's see, it says here, owned by the DHS, or the Department of Homeland Security, but they're donating them to police stations or districts or states, or I'm not sure how that actually works, but I mean, for instance, they had one of these things in Ferguson as a, you know, in case things go awry. I mean, this is a mind-boggling vehicle for, you know, one of the, you know, they gave one to Vermont, to a city that has a population of less than 25,000 and a low crime rate. Really? This thing that, you know, amazing vehicle? So they seem to be weaponizing the DHS in somehow with DOD. I think the DOD is giving them to DHS, and the DHS is then giving them to various cities, using these MRAPs as a symbol of, you know, obvious. It seems to me to be a real symbol of, we're not interested in negotiation or conversation or resolution. I'm not saying they're trying to antagonize, but it's not symbolic of, we really want to sit down and talk about this. It's really symbolic to me of, we have this big hairy-assed, weapon or thing, and this is what we'll go to if we need to. We will go in and, you know, bring our tanks and our armored officers and resolve it. We'll intimidate you into resolution versus try to figure something out. Pardon the rant.
Well, it's like what we said last week, that we're becoming animals, that whoever has the biggest bite, the biggest jaws, the most muscle, and in this case, it's guns and tanks are the muscle. We've gotten to the place, though, where a tiny minority thinks they have a right to run the world, like this garbage about atheists saying there can't be any Christianity or belief in God. Well, what happened to live and let live? Here's the Black Panthers that were accused of not allowing people to vote the way they wanted to. They've stuck their nose in down there. Jesse Jackson's put his nose in. What's that skinny guy that's calling for right and fight and might? Pastor somebody. And it was the local highway patrol, the local people who lived there, who came in and talked some sense into both sides. That's what I love about it, the people stepping up and saying there's a better way. We should talk about what the topic is today. Also, do we have our guests yet? Are they still having trouble?
I think they're still having trouble. I don't see them, so I think they're having trouble.
we are due to have Lynn Horowitz and his partner Sherry Kane on about Ebola. He wrote about Ebola years ago, 1996, and warned that this was coming if people didn't start finding alternative ways instead of just slapping an antibiotic on it. So he knew, he and Sherry knew, that because of all the storms and hurricanes there in Hawaii, they might have some trouble today. So they have sent us a video to show. But before that happens, I would like to talk to you about Ebola work that we're doing. Unless you have another announcement, Richard, I shouldn't.
I do not.
Okay. We got some information from Mike Adams about Ebola. And this was about a New York Times article. The world, it's called FDA Mainstream Media Denounces Nanosilver as Bogus Cure for Ebola. Now, most of you know that Rima Lebo has been trying to sell some Ebola nanosilver to these countries that are having such a time with Ebola. Now, whether or not that's a real thing or they've blown it out of proportion, I don't know who to believe. The thing that we played before the show, This Land Is My Land, and with the background of all kinds of leaders of all kinds of countries killing each other and killing the children, that saying that God gave them the right to the land and gave them the right to kill others for it, this is traveling through not just from this police state. And I need to add something else to that. But it's going through to our food and our health. It's the same thing. We are right, the government says. We will do this. You can do nothing, you dumb schlups. So he has written, Mike Adams, who I totally trust, has written this thing about Ebola. And I put the link in for you. The world of conventional medicine currently has zero proven treatments, vaccines, or cures for treating Ebola. Two, the recent Ebola pandemic resulted in tremendous FDA pressure to authorize Ebola vaccine trial runs by a company called Tecmira, whose stock prices skyrocketed nearly 100% after the announcement. Three, as Ebola continued to spread, some websites began to claim they had various cures for the treatment of Ebola. For example, this webpage claims something called Monolaurin, M-O-N-O-L-A-U-R-I-N, is the answer to Ebola. And I don't know what this website is. I'll go back and look later. The New York Times published an article explaining that the FDA had issued warnings over Ebola cures. This article specifically named Dr. Rima Lebo for asserting that nanosilver can kill Ebola. And she was quoting a government article in the thing when you finally got to the bottom of what was going on. Okay, next. At the same time, however, the New York Times also published this highly speculative article which ridiculously asserts that statin drugs might treat Ebola. Oh, my God. That explanation was me. It's not an article. Even though there is no evidence of any such claim. So how can they beat on one person and be doing the same thing? Interestingly, the New York Times did not warn its readers about the New York Times promoting bogus Ebola cures in the form of statin drugs. The pattern that's emerging from this New York Times is quite predictable. All experimental pharmaceuticals from the world of Western medicine can be assumed to be of value, while all experimental treatments of the world of holistic medicine can be assumed to be fraud. This stance is, of course, wholly unscientific from the outset. This is an incredible attempt to manipulate the people who don't keep themselves informed, which is kind of what we're trying to do with this show. And I certainly hope that all of you, if you find something to be informed here, send it on to everybody you know and invite them to the show. I've got a message here. Thimera saw injections in relation to Ebola. She is a writer. If you want to go ahead and take that call, Richard.
Okay, just a second. So this is Angela, and Angela is a writer, and she was asking me a question backstage about injections and some information she had. Go ahead, Angela.
Hi, good morning. The United Nations had a conference that was called for by the country of Kenya back in 2011, and it was called the Mercury Conference. For decades, they've been experimenting on humans in Africa and the different countries, things like a vaccine preservative/filler, thimerosal. And it was said at this conference that they were going to stop the experimentation, which the very next day, President Obama then said that there was going to be experimental studies on vaccines in America the very next day. Is it possible that they have done some experimentation with this virus? Usually they use a live virus in some of the vaccines that has caused this outbreak. I haven't really looked into it too much. I'm a writer. I'm not a researcher or scientist. I was just wondering what your thoughts were on that, and did I explain the question well enough?
Angela, that's an incredible question, and I'm going to answer it right now with what we've just done here.
Okay.
For years, we have put up, let me see if I can find one. We have put out information about killing flu with frequency, some of experimentation with rife frequency. Recently, we were able to get rid of some of the swine and bird flu with frequency. We've been doing this for 5 or 6 years now. And even Tamiflu-resistant bird flu responded to this, and that was done by a doctor. I'm looking for some of the frequencies that we put out. We gave them to the public freely. And one of the things, that's not one, but that's another year. So I'm trying to talk and find this at the same time. I was looking for that medieval Spanish flu that they resurrected. What did they call that? Plague. I could find it that way. So as we're putting out all of this information, we noticed that some of these flus didn't fit into the math matrix that we knew was prevalent in nature-made flus and viruses. And as we begin more and more through the years to give these frequencies, they begin to create frequencies that if you gave an antidote, it created another kind of flu. And they even did it in the same season. And I wish I'd have looked for that this morning. But when we look at this, and we even look at things like Gardasil, and we can see that Gardasil vaccinations were manipulated as an anti-fertility. And I could see it if maybe one of those vaccinations had something to do with infertility. But all four of the Gardasil shots have the same frequency equivalent as something that helps maintain pregnancy and helps people get pregnant, like progesterone and the follicle-stimulating hormones and things like that. It just didn't make sense that this flu, Gardasil wasn't a flu, but this vaccination, which is for a form of genital herpes, why they were pressing it so bad, why were they manipulating Governor Perry and people in Texas to make this mandatory, and then ended up killing, 18 people in Texas, and then to make it mandatory in California, and we've done whole shows about this, how frequencies of a gene or frequencies of a protein can identify a substance and identify what is going on. And that's our research here at the center. So one of the things that we did was take all the information that we had already done with the flus, and those are probably on our website, all the different flus down through the ages, and we do that in September and October every year. We provide the antidote frequencies in exchange for people giving us data to see if they found this gene frequency. Later, did they find that protein frequency? So we can collect data and see if what we're doing is even close to right, because we're a research center. But when we decoded Ebola, and we could not find this in the American data from the government, we had to go to a different country, and I think it was Sweden, I can't remember. But we started looking at the numbers for these nine strains of Ebola, and the two that were really killing people. If you give the antidote, it's the activator for the other kind of flu. And these frequencies show one of them is the nuclear factor kappa beta, which is your immune system kicking in to do something. And the other one is ADP ribose, which without containing that and having it work in the body causes internal bleeding. But we began to look at these numbers. I think they're man-made. From what we've seen before, down through looking at the flus and the mutation, and seeing each year that one flu's antidote is another flu's activator, especially in the last year that we've done this, I want to offer any company, any country, all of my research about Ebola for absolutely free if they will help us look at this. When we've extrapolated from things that have gone on before with flus and herpes and whatever else we're dealing with, yeast and candida, it's worked. We can't say this will work. It needs to be tested. But they're saying this is such a worldwide crisis, I would like to provide this just because the world needs it, and it also opens the door to a new kind of medicine. Richard, do you have any comment about that?
Nothing I couldn't talk about for a couple of hours. Yeah, I think it would be, you know, astounding if there could be a consortium of, you know, practitioners who would get together and take your information and their information and begin to sit down and pick this apart from reading, you know, a lot of Horowitz's information. Yeah, it's a nasty cascade of, you know, things that, you know, one thing gets cleared up and another pops up, and, you know, is, you know, all the way, he talks away all the way back to the original, you know, rhesus monkeys of where we got some of the early vaccines from and how they were dirty and, you know, just this, it's bad stuff. So it'd be awesome to have that kind of consortium come together, have people take care of, you know, take advantage of your information and sit down and really talk about it.
I finally found this article. This is one that we put out a few years ago when they brought back those medieval strains. And we gave what we considered to be the frequency antidote to it, and you see it here in on the screen. For anybody who wants this, they could just write to me, my name, Sherry, S-H-A-R-R-Y, Edwards, at Gmail, and if you can't find it on our site. But we thought this would be helpful, and the most data we've gotten back is about helping the body take care of sinus infections, cold, bronchitis, pneumonia, herpes. I can't think of all of them. But look at what just happened. For the people who are here new with us, Robin Williams killed himself, and I was to be on a radio show the next morning. I thought people were devastated by this. I was, and there was a lot on the news about how upset people were about him being such a coward, you know, and killing himself, just because he was depressed. And I started looking at his vocal print the last time he had been on TV, and I found a lot of Lewy protein in his vocal print. Well, I should say the frequency for Lewy protein, which is plaque in the brain. one form of plaque and is very much associated with Alzheimer's. And so on the radio show, I said, think about this, that he was such an on person. He loved his people so much, his audience. He didn't want to disappoint them, and I really think he had some deterioration like Alzheimer's or whatever, and he was doing this because he didn't want to disappoint his audience. Now, doesn't that look like a different kind of, thank you, Robin Williams, we don't like that you did that, but here it is. The next day or two, his widow announced that he had Parkinson's. Parkinson's very much as a part of Lewy protein, Parkinson's dementia. Now, how did we know that from a vocal print? I'm trying to tell you this story because it proves that there's something going on in the person's voice as a holographic representation of what they are. And we've taken people who've had bird flu and herpes and all this. We've looked at what's consistent in their voice, and we've given antidotes, and the body has eliminated that. Now, why can't we do the same thing with Ebola? We should ask Angela if she has any response to that, because she posed the question.
All right, let me unmute her. I'm going to unmute you, Angela.
Thank
you. Do you
have
any thoughts on that as a writer, as a researcher, as you keep saying, a writer, not a researcher? Do you have thoughts on that from your writings?
Well, listening to what he talked about before, starting that with the Gardasil, that was Governor Perry that tried to enforce vaccination of the teenage girls, a vaccine that only lasts for 3 years, and he was wanting to vaccinate the 11-year-old girls. There is a researcher, her name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny.
Yes.
Have you heard of that name?
She's been on our show.
I love her. She helped me get my youngest daughter through her vaccine reaction. Also, there is a Dr. Brian Hooker. He's a researcher in the state of Washington. His research has been used in the vaccine court cases. Oh, that, you know, when you have a vaccine reaction, you have to present it before a federal review to get monies for damages.
Yeah, we're being threatened with an Ebola vaccine that's never
mm-hmm.
been tested. And
I believe that came from the Congo, if I'm not mistaken, some of the research where the dirty monkeys that was referred to earlier. It's the same place that happened. You know, it's beyond my comprehension how this keeps happening decade after decade in Africa. You know, because they can get away, and they consider that population to be expendable.
Yes.
It's just so disheartening and frightening, and it's happening. And, you know, this should be on CNN, and no one's screaming no, except the minority like you.
You know, we're hoping that everybody who listens to this sends it out to everybody they know with the idea of this Ebola doesn't have to be a death sentence. And it doesn't
no.
have to be a threat. People should not have to run into pens and get shot up with Ebola just because
right.
the government has announced that this is a problem. We have evidence showing, well, Barbara Lowe Fisher, National Vaccine Information Center.
Yes, I know her.
A sweet, sweet lady. She's been on the show many times. I believe her information. And 1 year, she announced on October 21st there was going to be a mild flu season. 3 days later, Obama said this was a state of emergency. Everybody has to have a flu shot. And he sent Kathleen Sebelius and Janet Napolitano out to tell everybody this, and we tested their voice. They were all fibbing. No, they were lying, downright lying. And they even knew it wasn't the truth, and they said it anyway.
Wow.
And that's one of the things we...
Was that 2011?
I think it was 2009. I could look
okay.
it up for you really quick.
Because that UN conference in Kenya was October 2011, and the representative from the WHO organization got so upset, she did not just walk out of the room. She physically ran when the, I think there were 54 members of the UN delegation that physically stood up and said they wanted to hear from the COMED organization. I mean, that was a wonderful moment, and No one reported it. You know, just, it's amazing.
Do you write for pay?
No.
Oh, because we certainly need some articles written. We want to do an article, Robin Williams Didn't Have to Die. There's much more here than I was telling you.
Well, I think it has to do with the switches in the brain. The shooter from Colorado, and this is a little bit out there, maybe too far out there for you. The shooter in Colorado, James, I'm sorry, I've been up last night writing. James, you know the shooter, the Colorado, the Batman shooter?
I'm not familiar with that.
You know the one with the red hair that shot all the people in the Batman movie theater?
Yes.
I know what you're talking about. I just can't remember either.
He was part of a small group that he was getting his doctorate. And I had a friend that was in that same group. And I actually talked to this man, the shooter. I know I sound horrible this morning. But he was working on the effect of sound in the mitochondria and diseases of the nervous system like MS, things like that. My friend is now working on a project on switches in the brain, like how to get people to respond, you know, those switches that turn on and off. I don't think it's a coincidence that James was in that group. I think they tested on him, and look what happened. You know, I'll never forget the night that that shooting happened, because my friend kept calling 4, 6, 7 times an hour. You know, CNN keeps on calling me, and he was so excited, like a researcher gets when he's making a breakthrough.
Angela, can you give us more information about this, either on our site or to Richard or I, because we need to move on with the show, but this is really, really
okay.
Interesting stuff.
Well, you see my phone number there, Richard?
I do.
I'm very sleep-deprived right now. If you can get my number and call me tomorrow, and I can give you my information, and I'll be happy to talk to you about
great.
That.
I'll follow
I'm
up
sorry
that.
For taking your
rest.
Show off.
No, no, great.
Board.
No, you did great. Thank you. Thank you, Angela.
Thank you
we
for hearing
move
me.
Move on, because the video that we've
I hear you.
Given is 24 minutes long, and we need some time to do that. Sherry and Lynn said to us, because of all these storms and their phones were out, they may not make it to the show. So they sent us this video to play. And there's also, with this, a press release that we'll post for you. So this is about his work with Ebola and AIDS and warning the government and people in 1996 that this was going to happen. And Sherry Kane is his partner. I don't know if they were together then, but they certainly are together now in what is happening. And there's been some devastation of their home. And Horowitz, Lynn, was trying to warn people, and he got blasted. So just like Rima was blasted up front. So here we go. Now I can't. Well, I hate that music. In the middle here.
It could just be buffering. Although you have enough bandwidth there, which it seems like it would go for well.
Yeah, I don't know what to do about this. Do we pause it and let it?
You could click off on the right on the lower right hand side there where it says HD. You could click that off, and that would take it off of now the actual letters. And click that, and that'll turn off the high def. It's trying to feed you a very high def quality. So that'll be less bandwidth. So you might try again.
You just start over. It's just totally blown here. Let me see if I can find it on another channel.
Vimeo is usually pretty good. But if you find it again, turn off the HD, and that will reduce the amount of bandwidth it requires.
Okay, before we turn it on, okay.
Yeah.
Governments and news agencies' resources worldwide to put a stop to the pandemic to save lives.
Oh, this is crazy. What's these five little stripes here for?
That's indicating strength of signal and volume. Sorry, volume.
So we have a great video here, and it just won't play. Oh, God. How did you get by that? That's horrible.
Steve's suggesting that you might try refreshing the page, hitting Control R, and that'll refresh and maybe start a new feed.
Well, I'm wondering if we can just do video only.
Or audio only?
Yeah. Okay, just refreshed.
And hit the play button again and see if that does the trick.
Maybe if I shut some things down, it might work. Nothing. What do you do when this happens in a show? It's paused itself.
Yeah, it's trying to buffer.
Resources worldwide to put a stop to the pandemic to save lives.
Dr. Horowitz is one of the world's leading experts on emerging diseases, having published 17 books and 5 documentary films, mostly covering the frightening topic. Due to the controversial nature of the intelligence he shares, several days ago, Google YouTube canceled his YouTube account, claiming he had violated copyright laws, even though every video he posted was legal and lawful under Fair Usage Freedoms of the Press, published for public service in protecting people's lives.
Primarily, my works have been largely censored for exposing the risks to people.
Buffering again. I'm going to go look and see if we can...
It might catch up.
The press release that he sent along with this. And we can just read that.
The video is really worth watching. He talks, and especially in his book, he also talks a lot about the links to back to the rhesus monkeys and the dirty, you know, just the dirty nature of vaccines and possible extrapolations and, you know, conversations about the hows, wheres, whats, and tracking it back.
When we edit this, we will just put this on in a different way. But for right now, as this is catching up, let's look at the press release. Harvard-trained expert in public health, Dr. Horowitz, and emerging diseases claims the World Health Organization's international health emergency, the 2014 Ebola outbreak, smacks of commercial crime evidenced by scientific fraud. In a 24-minute special report, which is what he sent here, for public broadcasting on Vimeo's Revolution television channel, Dr. Horowitz, an award-winning author and filmmaker with co-host investigative journalist Sherry Kane, claims the World Health Organization and the United States Center for Disease Control and Prevention have defrauded people about drug industrialists loosed, after drug industrialists loosed the Ebola Zaire strain from a bioweapons lab refrigerator. Okay, it looks like it's a little bit ahead here. Let's see if we can do something. I don't know if they're going to show anything.
People worldwide of pandemics sourcing mostly from biological weapons laboratories, including HIV/AIDS and the current Ebola emergency. I am the author of the American best-selling book, Emerging Viruses, AIDS and Ebola, Nature, Accident, or Intentional, that presents the best scientific literature review on the man-made origins of HIV/AIDS and Ebola.
In a few minutes, to help everyone grasp what is really happening with the current Ebola pandemic and people's growing fears about this horrible infection, we're going to tell you how to download a free copy of Dr. Horowitz's Chapter 21 in his Emerging Viruses book titled Marburg Ebola and Chilling Propaganda in the Hot Zone. Before we do that, however, I want to tell you about another free video that you should watch after this one, blocked on YouTube and still playing on YouTube's competitor, Vimeo. On Vimeo's Revolution television channel that features my works as well as Dr. Horowitz's outstanding educational videos, there is a video there titled NSA CIA Trolls Destroy Heroes to Profit Villains, Snowden WikiLeaks Evidence Protection Racket for Death Industries, that you must watch.
That 36-minute newscast on NSA, CIA, Snowden, WikiLeaks details how information and propaganda is being controlled everywhere, but especially on the Internet, to fuel fears, plagues, wars, obviously profiting multinational corporations and intelligence agencies, heavily invested in Google, the largest Internet service providers, and the media in general, including supposedly...
Okay, let's let it catch up with itself again and go back to the press release. The only reasonable explanation for the germ sudden reemergence in a different country after years of hiding in a so-called natural reservoir is commercial gain and financial crime involving a refrigerator, Horowitz informs viewers. I don't understand that paragraph, do you? The only reasonable explanation for the germ sudden reappearance in a different country after years of hiding in a so-called natural reservoir is commercial gain. They're saying they deliberately put it out. Yes?
I think so. And I think the refrigerator may be a reference to what he calls the dirtiness of, you know, the vaccines, particularly in the early days. I'll have to reread that, but I think so.
To evidence scientific fraud, the whistleblowers use common sense and historic records in viewing WHO and CDC, World Health Organization, and Center for Disease Control, claims that the natural reservoir might be fruit bats. That official story is pseudoscience, according to Horowitz, referencing health officials' purported finding of 4% of bats tested in Bangladesh were claimed to carry antibodies for African Ebola. This is the same pseudoscience and scam the CDC perpetrated in 1967 after Ebola's mother, the Marburg virus, broke out of three vaccine production plants simultaneously in Germany and Yugoslavia. The doctor recalled at that time, American officials claimed antibodies were found in 50% of the monkeys tested, whereas no other lab could duplicate their claim. The doctor concluded major socioeconomic and political upheaval in Liberia involving officials in both oil and drug industries. Best explains the Ebola breakout that has killed nearly 1,000 people, mostly in Liberia, even though the virus was reported to have first killed people in Guinea. Coupled the scientific facts with Dr. Horowitz's censorship, suffered as a pharmaceutical industry whistleblower, and you have submitted substantial evidence of a corporate conspiracy to commit genocide. I can't read this morning. Kane says, angered by YouTube cancellation of both journalists, YouTube channels watched by millions of viewers just as headline news about Ebola was breaking. The journalists are requesting activists spread their 24-minute educational video along with a freely downloadable book chapter on Ebola written by the doctor. That's his 1996 book. Okay, not much more, but let's go back and see if we can catch up with them again.
Independent news sources.
The chapter Dr. Horowitz has authorized to be distributed to you for free in light of the growing Ebola emergency includes a scientific literature review of the real origin of the Ebola virus from American and German biological weapons labs in 1967, with the first major publicized outbreak occurring in 1976.
For years, I have lectured stating no epidemic in Earth's history has ever evolved divorced from major socioeconomic and political upheaval. None, not the Black Plague in the 1300s, and not the current Ebola outbreak, reported to have come from some yet undetermined natural reservoir in southeast Guinea. In this case, the major socio-political and economic upheaval exists in the current Ebola outbreak's epicenter, in Guinea, but really in Liberia, Central West Africa. And I conclude, based on my knowledge of science, history, geopolitics, and economics, that the current Ebola Zaire strain, frightening and killing people worldwide, came from a refrigerator, not some yet-to-be-determined animal or natural reservoir. Let me first comment on a recent World Health Organization, that is WHO, press release from March 2014. It says here that although the Ministry of Health of Guinea notified the World Health Organization of the outbreak from the, quote, forested areas, end quote, 6 of 7 blood samples tested at the Institut Pasteur in Lyon, France, were positive for the Ebola virus, confirming that the first Ebola hemorrhagic fever outbreak in Guinea was confirmed to be the Ebola strain from Zaire, and that's important. 7 additional cases were confirmed by the Institut Pasteur Laboratory, facilitated by the World Health Organization, or WHO.
The WHO report goes on to claim that at the early stage of the pandemic, 2 suspect cases tested negative by the Institut Pasteur deployed in Guinea. In quote, the initial report suggested that the suspect case in Canada who traveled to Liberia also tested negative, and 2 samples from 6 suspect cases, including 5 deaths from Liberia, have been taken.
Okay, there's a little glitch there. You guys are going to have to finish this on your own or listen to what we put up as an edited version of this, and I hope we can have that up tomorrow. Another part of the press release, think about it, Dr. Horowitz said, the wealthiest, most powerful, untrustworthy people in the world are dictating what can and can't be discussed or published in the scientific community and in public forums for which decisions and emergency response plans using drugs and vaccines are made. This fact compounds evidence as bad faith, foul play, and commercial crime. I think that's what they've been doing all along, and it's a vicious circle. The drug companies donate to a political campaign. Then the politician who got elected, and check out Obama and Bush's and Clinton's right down the line, And you'll see that the drug companies have more lobbyists than any other corporation. So the money goes to the candidate now then owes them, helps them sell their stuff, helps protect them, just like you're looking at this organization that says vaccinations cause no harm, yet they've spent billions in rehabilitation of kids that were harmed with vaccines. They can't have both sides of the coin be true. There's no problem. There's a big problem. There are so many good people out there talking about vaccines and viruses and what's being created. And it's coming down on Barbara Lowe Fisher's site, National Vaccine Information, NVIC.org. Now, if there's another, if I could spell it right, O-R-G. There's another one very close to this, and if you get a porno site, you've typed it in wrong. It looks, there it goes. Looks like my computer is very, very slow. But she has information about everything current, and she has a great attorney working with her, Alan Phillips, and they need people all over the country to spread information. One, that you don't have to get your kids vaccinated. Let's go back to this, see if there's a little more.
And are to be investigated.
Now, you see there is a typo or a grammatical error in the sentence published by The Who that Sherry just read. And maybe it was no error, but really a distraction or a diversion or a psychological ploy to divert from the reported lack of information from Guinea. Indeed, the deaths that occurred in Liberia, where the pandemic has been most devastating, appear to be the target or the epicenter for this horrible outbreak, and for good cause.
We will describe our concerns about the Liberian socioeconomic, political, and commercial environment in a minute. But I suggest you pay attention next to the fraudulent background on Ebola published by the World Health Organization, The Who, in this official early release, because it strongly evidences, according to Dr. Horowitz, scientific fraud and pure propaganda.
Indeed. The Who's March 25, 2014 press release goes on to state that Ebola virus disease outbreaks occur primarily in remote villages in Central and West Africa, near tropical rainforests, that the virus is transmitted to people from wild animals, although they have no legitimate scientific support whatsoever to make that claim. They further claim that fruit bats of the Pteropodidia family are considered to be the natural host of the Ebola virus. And to support that bogus claim, strongly evidencing fraud and conspiracy to commit bioterrorism and mass murder through the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, or CDC, in Atlanta, that ridiculous statement is primarily supported by a January 16, 2013 report by the Environmental Front organization called EcoHealth Alliance in New York, titled Ebola Virus Antibodies in Fruit Bat, Bangladesh, published by the CDC's own Vanity Press.
Now, first of all, those people know that Bangladesh is in Asia, not Africa. Second, the study allegedly found only 4% of 276 bats supposedly tested positive for antibodies.
And that 4% positive may have been an artifact or error, just like the grammatical error in the Who's propaganda that Sherry just read you. And that this alleged antibody discovery may be either a laboratory error or more likely scientific fraud, because the most important factor is that this deceptive antibody business appears to be the same scam that the CDC committed in 1967, immediately following the outbreak of the mother of Ebola called Marburg, at which time the CDC clearly sabotaged international efforts to locate the source of the outbreak. And you can read this.
I think at this point, we could just have a bit of a conversation with people as soon as I get back to looking at this one thing that we had open about Gardasil. when we look at things like these vaccinations and Gardasil, there was one of them that we put out about mass. Here it is. My computer is not cooperating. There was actually an article put out about the Gardasil. They spent like $60 million to target low-income inner cities in rural America, places where they thought people were really, really dumb and wouldn't go up against them. We created a chart as antidotes and what was interfering when people were given these HPV vaccines. This is what we would like to see created about these 9 Ebola strains so that if people find the frequencies, we could put out what the frequencies are. We can't put out the antidotes because one causes the other, and I just don't want to lead people astray so we can get some of this tested. But in this article, it gives you information about Gardasil urges a push to young boys. There was one in here about it was a push toward poor countries, poor populations. I don't see that. Must be not an updated version. But go look on the internet. It actually says Gardasil targeted for the poor and rural uneducated people. Hey, I live in a rural uneducated area, and we helped stop it. It maimed people. It put people in wheelchairs. It caused neurological problems. Sherry Tenpenny has a great book about vaccination, 3 or 4 books. There's many books on our site about, and people we've had on our show about the dangers of vaccines. Yet they've got the schools involved. They're trying to intimidate mothers. In our community, they try to intimidate a mother to get shots and said the kid can't get them back to school. Fine, well, and good. There are very good schools online now. So it's not like homeschooling is horrible or tremendous. But one of the things Terry Ingram said that we had on last week was that they begin to indoctrinate our kids in public school. That stand here, do this, do it this way, not that way, don't creatively think, don't do this, don't do that, go here. And with that, obedience equals reward. So this vaccination crap and this Obama executive order that he can control homeschooling as well, we ought to come up in arms against this. And if you're having trouble, there are many people who will help you out. National Vaccine Information Center, if these Ebola become mandatory for all of us, and they'll say it's an emergency, and they'll call out the tanks, and they'll go have house to house, rousing you out of your house without your slippers or your baby formula like they did in Boston, and they'll shoot you up. Your Vaccine Rights, and Alan Phillips works with Barbara Lowe Fisher, the truth teller about this. I did not do Dr. Horowitz vocal print. I will after the show and let you guys know. I'm just trying not to strain the computer.
In the portion of the book that I've authorized publishers and distributors to grant you as a free download. And one of the most esteemed scientists in the world at that time, Dr. Rudolf Siegert of the Hygiene Institute of Philips University in Marburg, Germany, the city where the virus first broke out from a vaccine manufacturing plant, wrote about. It also did simultaneously in Frankfurt, Germany, and Belgrade, Yugoslavia at the time, also from vaccine plants, who received shipments of 500 to 600 contaminated monkeys supplied by Litton Bionetics Research Labs, a leading U.S. military bioweapons contractor and the vaccine industry's leading supplier of monkeys, monkey viruses, and cancer research media for also vaccine research and development.
A study conducted into the source of those infected monkeys centered the name and bioweapons operation of Lit Bionetics Animal and Virus Supply Company. The media and scientific world censored the name of the company that shipped contaminated animals newly developed viruses and the virus-growing media to bioweapons contractors in Falls Church, Virginia, and the Congo, also called Zaire, where Ebola broke out in 1976.
In that 1967 case of scientific fraud and international deceit, Dr. Seegert published that the, quote, monkeys themselves did not seem to be the probable natural reservoir of the mother of Ebola, end quote. He wrote that the CDC's blood studies conducted by the Special Virus Studies Laboratory in 1968 claimed that, quote, 50% of the animals reacted positively to the antibody test, unquote, but the international studies failed to confirm the fact. In fact, all of the other studies found no antibodies at all. Seegert wrote this in his conclusion, quote, with such widespread the alleged contamination, it is difficult to imagine why no cases have occurred until now involving humans having close contact with monkeys, end quote.
The same thing goes for the fruit bats today. Dr. Horowitz's research goes on to explain and evidence using actual copies of U.S. government National Cancer Institute contracts that the Ebola virus was bioengineered for bioterrorism and quick kill population control by the same lab that brought us the HIV/AIDS from contaminated chimpanzees used to produce the earliest hepatitis B vaccine tested in gay men in New York City and black women in Central Africa.
In fact, YouTube just blocked my channel containing my videos watched by millions of people, extracted from my documentary film titled In Lies We Trust, the CIA, Hollywood, and Bioterrorism, in which the maker of that hepatitis B vaccine that caused the initial outbreak of AIDS in New York City and Central Africa, Dr. Maurice Silliman, the chief at Merck, admitted what I am telling you here, that he brought the AIDS virus into North America in contaminated animals used to develop and test Merck's hepatitis B vaccines. But getting back to Ebola, I show you in my book, Emerging Viruses, AIDS and Ebola, Nature, Accident, or Intentional, that another world-leading expert in emerging viruses, Dr. Seymour Coulter, proved that the antibody test used by the CDC was not specific enough to evidence Ebola virus infection in the animals. He confirmed Dr. Seegert's conclusion that the CDC set the virology world on a wild goose chase.
And today the CDC is sending the scientific world on a wild bat chase using the same scam. Now consider what is happening in Liberia today besides the Ebola devastation, reflecting on what Dr. Horowitz stated at the beginning of this.
My apologies for this issue going on. Somebody suggested we download this and then show it. I should have, and I certainly will next time. But we get to share some other things while that's pumping itself up, or what do you call it? And I brought over this little bit from the Gardasil vaccinations, because they're talking about deliberately infecting people so they can make money by injecting you with vaccines that they'll know will make you sick, so you have to in turn go to their government health center and take their pills that they made and grossly exaggerated the price of. It's a crazy circle to keep people in fear and unhealthy. This is a quote from the article that we wrote on Gardasil. This is a quote by Diane Harper, lead researcher concerning Gardasil, says that 70% of all HPV infections resolve themselves within a year, and within 2 years, that percentage climbs to 90%. Dr. Harper also states that Gardasil would do little to prevent cancer, and she does not recommend Gardasil or Cervarix, a similar vaccine, to anyone younger than 15 years of age. Additional statement by Harper in 2013 states that parents should be warned of the harmful effects of Gardasil vaccinations. She quotes, so far that 15,037 girls have reported adverse side effects from Gardasil alone to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, and this number only reflects parents who underwent the hurdles required for reporting these adverse reactions. As of the time of this writing, 44 girls are officially known to have died from this vaccine. The reported side effects included Guillain-Barré syndrome, paralysis lasting for years or permanently, sometimes eventually causing suffocation, lupus, seizures, blood clots, and blood or brain inflammation. Parents are usually not made aware of these risks. Actually, in California, a child does not have to report it to their parents at all, even though deaths have recurred the day of the vaccine. And they are putting kids' names into a drawing for computers and iPods and things like that to entice them to take these shots. We get a lot of people in the clinic here who can't conceive, and we back it up, and a lot of the time it's these Gardasil shots that are causing the problem. We had a very nice chat come in from Moonstone, and if you are in either of the chats, go ahead and look at those. She is up in arms, too, about dengue fever. And we do have an article about dengue fever. And it is the same frequency as Corexit. So when they poured Corexit on that golf spill, and I'm trying to bring it over here so you can see, they caused, I think it's caused, direct result, they cause a reaction in the mosquitoes and increase the mosquitoes' population, ended up causing dengue fever outbreak in Florida. And I think they know enough now that they can just create this kind of problem anywhere. Oh, we need an oil spill so we can put Corexit out. So kill a lot of animals and fish and mutilate our food supply, all in the name of giving you a vaccination and charging you for it. Is that what you wanted me to answer?
Yes, thank you.
Yes, okay.
I noticed in the Mike Adams article that he was also making a comment about one of the, I thought, if I can find that quickly, oh, with the recent Ebola media panic resulted in tremendous FDA pressure to authorize Ebola vaccine trials run by a company called Techmira, whose stock price skyrocketed nearly 100% after the announcement. I'm not blaming anything on anybody. I'm just going with my usual follow the money.
Absolutely.
It just seems, you know, very tricky that these things occur and then all of a sudden, oh, look, somebody has a vaccine for this. Really?
And they're gonna scare people into taking it.
Oh, boy.
Did we put the link for this article in there? If not, I'll put it in again because it's about the government trying to scare people. This is all the same thing, whether it's AIDS or Ebola or Gardasil, flu, it's all the same thing. Create a disease so they can create a cure. This is absolute marketing 101. You create a need for your product.
No epidemic in Earth's history has ever evolved divorced from major socioeconomic and political upheaval.
In fact, Liberia appears to be the world's most tumultuous and controversial country on Earth, socio-politically, economically, and commercially, as related to new oil drilling operations off its coast and money pouring into the country from the International Monetary Fund due largely to the work of the country's high-profile president, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, the winner of the 2011 Nobel Peace Prize and 2012 Indira Gandhi Prize for Peace, Disarmament, and Development.
President Sirleaf was awarded an honorary Doctor of Law degree from Harvard University, my alma mater. That was done in 2011, not long ago. And the African Gender Award that same year she was given, despite being openly opposed to homosexuality. She also won the 2010 Friend of the Media Award of Africa, despite gross corruption in her country, persecuting journalists who, like me and Sherry, exposed political corruption. As of 2014, Ms. Sirleaf is listed as the 70th most powerful woman in the world by Forbes magazine.
According to Wikipedia, which is widely known to be a mouthpiece for Western intelligence, President Sirleaf offered the United States land to establish the United States Africa Command, AFRICOM, but America refused her offer, opting for Stuttgart, Germany, for the command's headquarters instead.
Recently, Sirleaf strengthened relations with the People's Republic of China, reaffirming Liberia's commitment to the One China policy. In return, China contributed to Liberia's reconstruction funds, building several broadcasting transmitters to extend the Liberian broadcasting system, and a new campus for the University of Liberia. So at the same time China and America are being wooed by Liberia's president, these two nations are vying for military and economic dominance over planet Earth, with both superpowers cranking out increasing amounts of propaganda to justify World War III.
Dr. Horowitz, Sirleaf
encourages peace, however, condemns all
war
makers.
Having
and
published
now,
17 books and 5 documentary films.
Good grief, I don't know what
topic.
That is.
Due to the
anyway.
Controversial nature of the intelligence he shares, several days ago, Google YouTube canceled his YouTube account, claiming he had violated copyright law.
I think you have multiple tabs. Maybe the one to the right of that top tab, you have another feed of that audio.
Here it is. Wonder if we could...
Primarily, my works have been largely censored for exposing the risks of people...
Way over here, looks like it's playing better. There's two of them going on. Steve has put in the chat, too, where to download this, which is what I should have done.
Of propaganda to justify World War III. Sirleaf encourages peace, however, condemns all war makers, and now she's fighting a war against Ebola. Now, most people who have studied history, or my books and films, know that at the heart of the American military might, as well as the emerging viruses and the disease defense industry, stands the Rockefeller family, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Rockefeller Directive, American Public Health Association, the Rockefeller-directed American Medical Association, the Rockefeller-directed J.P. Morgan Chase Banking Cartel, and the Rockefeller-controlled Exxon Mobil Energy Company.
Most people who have studied Dr. Horowitz's books and films know that viral outbreaks and bioterrorism are most often schemed and administered to advance commercial and political agendas that go hand in hand with the media fanning flames of fear. The 2001 anthrax mailing in the wake of 9/11, what many of us now believe was an inside job, is one...
Okay, it's buffering again. We're going to go over to chat, and Steve just put in a link for the Ebola virus. That may be a better way for you folks to watch it, and I will be very cognizant of not doing it this way again. We will find out what happened to Dr. Horowitz and Sherry and see if we can reschedule them for another time. We are going to edit this video and so that it flows properly, but I sort of like the idea that it stopped and we got to bring in other things along with this because it's all about man-made pandemics to scare people into buying a product that might help that is planned in the long run about depopulation, it looks like to me, and I don't want to be paranoid. Richard, when you watch Dr. Horowitz and Sherry, is that the idea that you get even though we couldn't listen to all the film?
Well, from watching them and also from reading a number of his articles on his website, I put that in both chats, drlenhorowitz.com. There's a lot of information there, and he's been doing, and I've also read sections of the book and listened to a number of interviews. So between watching what he's talking about and everything else that he's talking about, he really tracks back the point of, you know, point of origins and talks about the relationships and how the, you know, various acronyms like FDA and pharma have gotten together and really closed up publication of information and release of data. And, you know, I don't know that he directly says it, but it really does go toward my pattern of, you know, follow the money. Look at the corporations that are making ginormous profits off of these, you know, oh my goodness, look, we have this outbreak, but oh wait, we have a vaccine for that. I mean, it really is.
And the other, there's another side of this too. They are giving the shots to a lot of poor countries and poor rural areas, and then they can take that off their taxes and not have to pay taxes on their profits because they gave an exaggerated priced medication or vaccine over here. So they're getting it both ways. There's a great tax evasion, as far as I can see, and getting their way and encroaching into our health. Glenn Beck wrote a book called The Overton Window, and it's about marketing and how marketers create a crisis to put you in a position where you are forced to purchase their wares. I wonder if we could talk about that book someday.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
For those of you who are going to pass this information on, and I love it that most of you do, please wait till tomorrow till we have an announcement up that we have edited parts of this. Although, I don't know if we should or not. Well, I guess we'll listen to it and see. We'll edit out my frustration parts. Okay. Thank you for being here. Remember that those of you who want to grab everything in the chat, go over to the chat, click Control-A, and then Control-C to copy it. And you can have all of the anything that people posted today for your own forever.
Yeah, there's some great links in there, you know, and comments by, you know, Moon and Stone, Moonstone, and by Steve, you know, great links and good information. Particularly that there's a note in there that Steve put talking about the, I forget who he was referring to, but dengue. Somebody was in an area with dengue, and they used liposomal vitamin C with very positive results. So that kind of information that's in chat is always like, yeah, copy that, paste it, save it.
And Peter Hulley just posted something I think is wonderful. Back in 2002 when he worked in Dubai, then already the local Arabs said the vaccine donations made to the poor countries were a hidden agenda. Yes? And that's what our Gardasil program is about, to put those hidden agendas out on the table and tell you what they are and make it so you have control over your own health and government control be damned. Ooh, I really said that.
Wow.
We will see you on Tuesday. I don't know what's happening. I think they were going to do cholesterol. I can't remember. But this is the happy hour where we're going to do people's evaluations.
And I'll remind everybody that the audio of this show, the Blog Talk Radio portion of this show, is available always on iTunes. Search for Sherry Edwards. And the same for my favorite audio listening app, cross-platform, Stitcher, S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R, and go there and search again for Sherry Edwards, and the shows will be there, just the, even the audio portion now, for, you know, review and re-listening is always available.
And we'll talk to you later.
Everybody have the great rest of a weekend. Thanks, Sherry. That was, you know, spooky and fun all at the same time. Have a great weekend. Bye.